Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you ever run out of gas? Do you know what running out of gas is? It's the worst because it's just so stupid, right? You know your car needs gas. It's not like a mystery. Your car needs gas. You know you're going to have to refill it or it will be empty and you will be stuck. So when you run out of gas, it's like, what kind of idiot am I? Better question, have you ever run out of gas when you're driving other people? My first real job, like not an intern, like it was a real job, I was driving the other guys I was working with, and we ran out of gas. And that's when it became official. I am so dumb. Like, I am the dumbest. Here's a different question. Have you ever felt like you've run out of gas in life? You know what I mean? It's like there's fuel we run on, and we need to replenish that fuel, or we start to feel like we're not ourselves, we lack energy, we get burned out, we're not living the life we want to live. And part of it is that we need to keep fueling up, but maybe the bigger issue is making sure we have the right kind of fuel. Today, I want to talk to you about having the right kind of fuel. We're in this series called Different, and we're learning that we are different. And that God has a different life for us, a life that is bigger and better. But to get there, we need fuel. We need to get the right fuel. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Sorry, Metallica break. So in this series, we're studying through the book of 1 Peter. And today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. So we're going to read it and then we'll break it down and we'll see the kind of fuel we need to live if we're going to live different lives, okay? So starting in verse 7, it says, "The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen." Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. So, what is the fuel we need? First, your prayers. Peter says, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. That word earnest, in the original language that Peter wrote in, it has the idea of white hot, which is the opposite of phoned in prayers, right? The opposite of status quo prayers. The opposite of, "Now I lay me down to sleep," or "Bless us, Lord, and these thy gifts, rub-a-dub-dub, three men in the tub." Like, we can put our prayers on cruise control, but that is not earnest, disciplined prayers. I think what Peter is saying is, hey, pray while you pray. You know, like while you're praying, actually pray. Really talk to God. That's what praying is. Pray. Why? Because you need it. It's fuel. Prayer keeps you connected to God. It keeps his power flowing into your life. It keeps his wisdom flowing into your life. It keeps his life flowing into your life. And by the way, it's been proven that prayer makes a difference in your life. Like, if you're thinking, "Well, you know what? I don't believe in prayer." Okay, but you're fighting science on that one. Like so many studies, so much research has proven that prayer actually works. In fact, there was just an article last month in the Wall Street Journal called The Science of Prayer, sharing studies that have proven prayer really makes a difference in the lives of people who pray. So, pray. Peter says, be earnest about it. Earnest means to have intense conviction. Be intensely convinced that prayer is important and you need to do it. Peter says, be disciplined about it. Discipline means like you make it a priority. You do it when you feel like it and you do it when you don't. Now, I'll tell you one thing that has helped me in my prayer life is to mix things up. Like, so sometimes I pray in my head. Sometimes I write out my prayers. Sometimes I use a prayer list. A lot of times I go for prayer walks. I have a friend who prays in his hot tub. Let's go. You can change the way you pray. Just keep praying. There's a verse in the Bible where we're told, never stop praying. Never stop. Isn't that so cool? God says, hey, listen, you can talk to me all the time. And when we need to, we do it. And when we don't need to, we do it because it's fuel. It's what we need to keep us living the different, the better, the bigger life that God has for us. Look at this verse, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story, listen, to show that they should always pray and never give up. What keeps you from giving up? Praying does. Praying is the opposite of giving up. We will be weak if we do not pray. Or maybe we could say, we are weak because we don't pray. Our gas tank is empty when we don't pray. What's the fuel we need? First, your prayers. Second, you want the fuel to help you live a different life? Second is your people. Your people. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. He's writing to a church, to Christians, and he's saying, man, make sure you have close relationships in your community. Let people get close to you. Love each other deeply. And when we do that, when we get close to each other, do you know what we realize? You're human. I mean, like, you're really human. And me too. Like, we are broken and we are just messed up human beings. And so if we get close, we see that. And so what do we do when we see the not so pretty parts of each other's lives? Peter says we love each other deeply and our love covers a multitude of sins. We understand each other. We forgive each other. We keep each other's stuff to ourselves. We encourage each other. Man, do you know how life-giving that is? If you've never experienced it, you don't. But when someone sees the worst parts of you and loves you anyway, when you think you're alone, you're the only one, and someone else says, me too. When you don't know what to do or where to go and you find a place with these people, you talk about fuel. And what's sad is that people have that less and less. There was an article in the New York Times about loneliness, about how people are more lonely than ever, especially younger people. You know, we have social media today and we can talk to Siri or Alexa, but people feel more isolated than ever before. And that was before quarantine life. I'm sure it's even worse now. Interesting, the article in the New York Times wasn't really about loneliness. It was about how bad loneliness is on the human body. They said studies have shown that living a socially isolated life has the same impact on your body as smoking 15 cigarettes a day or being obese or drinking alcohol excessively. The first thing we have recorded of God saying about people in the Bible is that we were not meant to do life alone. And every day scientists are confirming that truth. Your people are fuel that keeps you going and you keep moving towards the different life God has for you. So, who's asking about your soul? Who's asking you about your heart? Who's encouraging you? Who speaks life into you? Who's fighting for you? Do you have people? You need people. That's your fuel. If you don't have people, man, you need to get into a Verve group. Verve groups are like, you know, 5 to 15 people who meet usually once a week, and you hang out and you laugh and you get encouraged and you get prayed for. It's huge. And we have a new semester of Verve groups coming up pretty soon. When they start, when you hear about that, sign up. Your people are your fuel. Your prayers, your people, and third, your part. Your part. And I mean your part in the church, in God's team. Your part in what the Bible calls the body of Christ. You have a unique role. Did you ever, when you were younger, did you ever try out for the school play when you were young? Or maybe you're a parent, you had your kid do that, and you're like, you're hoping you get a part, you just want to get a part, and then you get a part and you're playing like a tree. You're just going to stand there. You're the tree. Does the tree talk? Nope, the tree doesn't talk. No, you have no lines. So listen, God says in the church, you have a part. You have a part to play, and every part is significant. Remember, Peter wrote this in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 4. He says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So it says that God has given you a spiritual gift. A what? What? In the Bible, we learn that these spiritual gifts that God gives to people are they're kind of ordinary abilities. Things like teaching is one of them, administration, showing mercy, being generous, leadership, hospitality. God gives you a gift, an ability, and then he asks you to use it in his church to grow his people and to grow his kingdom. And Peter says, whatever gift you have, Use it. Do it with all the strength and energy God provides, and do it to bring him glory. Whatever gift you have, use it. And yes, it will serve God and other people, but the bigger impact it will have is on you. And I have grown so much through using my spiritual gifts to serve people in the church. I think everyone I know who uses their spiritual gifts to serve in the church grows because of it. That they keep moving forward into the life God has for them. They don't tend to run out of gas. Now, I will admit it is true that you won't always know the impact God is making through you. In fact, sometimes if you use your gifts, you play your part, you'll wonder, am I making any difference at all? That's totally normal. We don't always see what God is doing. So, here's an example. I've written 5 books, all kind of for God to try to serve people. One of those books sold pretty well. 3 of them sold, and one of them sold bad, like almost not at all. That one book, man, I was just like, why, God? Why? I put so much into it, and it barely sold anything compared to the others. So I get letters and emails sometimes from people telling me how my book impacted them. And there's one of my books that is almost always the one that is the subject of your book impacted me so much. It's the one book that sold so bad. The biggest disappointment has by far had the greatest impact. In fact, I just got a letter last month from a lady saying, my son is in prison. He read your book. It changed his life. She went on and on describing how his life has changed. Which book do you think it was? The one that barely sold. I don't understand. Listen, you won't always know the impact that God is making through you. That's okay. You trust him. His part is making the impact. Your part is to play your part, to serve according to your spiritual gifts. It's also true that you're not always going to feel the energy God is giving to you. Like sometimes you will be super motivated to serve. Let's go. Let's do this. And sometimes you will feel like quitting. What do? You get fuel from your prayers and you get fuel from your people and you keep serving. You keep playing your part. You ask God to give you the energy. That's his part. Your part is to keep playing your part, to keep serving according to your spiritual gifts. Now, if you're hearing all this and you're thinking, I like the idea of this, but I still don't really know what spiritual gifts are. I'm a little confused. And I guess you're saying I have a part to play, but I definitely don't know my part at all. Sure, no problem. We got you covered. We got that. So next step. Take next step. So we talk about next step all the time. Next step is a really fun class, seminar, workshop kind of thing. We offer it for people who want to take next steps with God and into the life that he has for them. And one of the things we do in next step is discover your purpose. We could also say discover your part, your adventure. Like in Discover Your Purpose, you learn your spiritual gifts. We'll help you to discover your part. We'll provide an opportunity for you to sign up to start volunteering and try to figure out what it is. And when you do, when you start serving according to your spiritual gifts, you will find its fuel. So, what's your fuel? Okay, we want to live the different life God has for us. We need fuel to keep going. What's your fuel? Your prayers, your people, your part, and last, your pain. Your pain, which all peace, I get extra credit, come on. So Peter concludes this section with this. We've already read it, but he says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. He says, instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. There's an old preacher from years ago named J. Vernon McGee, and he has this quote. He says, the Christian life is a banquet, but it's not a picnic. I kind of like that. The Christian life is a banquet, meaning God has invited us to a feast, like this banquet of blessings. But it's no picnic, meaning life is hard, right? In general, life is hard. Walking through life with Jesus is hard. It's going to be hard either way. So, man, let's do it with Jesus, right? But Peter says, don't be surprised when it's not a picnic. Don't be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering. And if, you know, don't act as if you didn't expect it because we knew it was coming, right? Don't wonder, why, God? And if you loved me, you wouldn't let this happen to me. No, no. We talked about this earlier in the series. We'll hit it again a little bit next week. So we're not going to spend much time on it now. But listen, life is going to be hard no matter what team you're on, including Team Jesus. So when you go through a trial, that's normal. Everything's going according to plan. Everyone else experiences the same things you are. I'm not saying that to minimize your pain, okay? I just want you to know the wheels have not come off the universe. When life goes bad, God's got this. God's got you. It's okay. Just keep moving forward. And Peter says, he says, you should even be glad. Glad? Yeah. Because as we've already talked about in this series, pain reveals your faith. Remember, we talked about that if you were with us that day, and it grows your faith. Like pain verifies, it clarifies, it purifies. I get extra points there for rhyme, and it verifies, it clarifies, it purifies. Let's go. So when things go bad, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job, God's not paying attention. No, instead, be glad. Why? Be glad, Peter says, that you're in the thick of what Jesus experienced. It's going to grow you. It's going to be fuel that keeps you going, that gets you where you need to go. And Peter says, hey, this world with all of its pain, with all of its disappointment, with all of its crap, it's going to end. Right? Jesus is going to come back, he says, to end it and to usher in a new world, a new time, a new life where there will be no more suffering. So Peter says, partner with Jesus in his suffering now, he says, so that you will have this wonderful joy of seeing him in his glory when it is revealed to all the world. He says the end of suffering is coming, so now is too soon to quit, right? It's always too soon to quit. The end of your pain is near. The end of your trial is near. The end of your sickness is near. The end of you getting pulled into that addiction is near. The end of your anxiety is near. The end of the abuse is near. The end of your depression is near. It will pass. So keep moving and let your pain fuel you right along with your prayers and your people and your part. It's your fuel. I love how C.S. Lewis put this. He's a philosopher, a theologian, a great writer. And I'm going to close with this. He was this brilliant Christian guy, and he said this. And it's important to know he said this in England, where he lived in the thick of World War II. Okay, so he wasn't living in an easy time. He said this. He said, if the end of the world is to come and find us, let it find us praying. Let it find us working. Let it find us teaching and reading and listening to music and bathing our children and playing tennis and chatting to our friends over a pint in the game of darts. Let the end of the world not find us huddled together, frightened like sheep. And there is a day when Jesus will return. Jesus told us, fuel up and work until he returns. So let's get busy in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Right now, let's pray. And then let's go get busy in Jesus' name. Let's pray. God, man, we have a different life to live. We have a different life for us, and it's not always easy. And it's easy to feel disappointed, to feel burned out, to feel like we're just going to kind of like pull over in the side of the road and not be able to continue in this journey. So thank you so much for giving us fuel, for giving us the ability to pray to you. Our prayers fuel us, to giving us a church and groups where we can have people who fuel us, for giving us a part to play in your church. Our lives have significance, and when we play our part according to our spiritual gifts, it fuels us. And God, thank you for the gift of pain, because when we partner in your suffering, it fuels us. God, we have work to do. Help us to be busy in Jesus' name, and help us to fuel up as we get there. We pray all this in his name. Amen.